Ian, you've had a fascinating career because not only here in this country, but you ultimately ended up playing in Hong Kong and managing out there as well. Was that a tough decision to make to go out there?
Not really, because I just retired at Brighton when I was 35, and I retired with a knee. And a friend of mine, Mick Leonard, who was over in Hong Kong, kept on phoning me and said, like, come over here. And I said, no, my knee's knackered. He said, no, just come over for a month. They'll pay you, I think it was £1,000 a month. £1,000 a week for a month. And I thought, oh, that'd be a nice holiday. And fortunately for me, I went into the best side there. And something that was different for me is I couldn't stop scoring. So I ended up nicking an 18-month contract. But about 6 months into it, my knee was that bad. And they ended up giving me a coaching role. So, you know, I really, really enjoyed it over there.
I imagine it must have been a massive culture shock, though. It's a place that I've never been to, so did it take some adjusting to?
Social life's brilliant.
In what way?
just nice bars, nice restaurants. But the football, you know, it wasn't the best, but it certainly wasn't the worst. And, you know, me playing in that side, we ended up winning the equivalent of the FA Cup over here, which is the Hong Kong FA Cup. We won the league, ended up going on end-of-season trip to Phuket, trips to Japan, trips to China, Singapore. So what started off as a six-month trip or a month trip ended up being 4 years.
And did you find it strange making that transition from playing into the coaching side?
Yeah, I mean, you do find it difficult, but at the time it was something I very, very much wanted to do. They gave me the opportunity to do that. You know, I must admit I did find it difficult because you had an interpreter. You knew the players were gambling on the games. So you didn't really know what the players were going to do every time they stepped over the white line.
Did you learn much of the language while you were out there? And can you remember any of it?
I learned a lot of swear words.
Right, I will not ask you to repeat any of those then. That's probably best avoided. And you've coached in this country as well. You know, most recently you were with Eastleigh. So are you still enjoying the management side? You know, is that something you look to continue to do?
Well, I had eight years of managing, 4 years at Havant and Waterlooville and four years at Eastleigh, both in the Conference South. And I've got to admit, I was glad when I got the sack because, as people will tell you who manage and coach, it is very, very difficult to be told by the men in suits what to keep doing all the time when you know that they haven't got an absolute clue what they're going on about.
Really, a lot of interference then. Even at that level, you would imagine they would hand it over to the expert.
Even at that level, and the thing about it is what you've got to try and do is you've got to appreciate the money that they're putting in. And I was always very, very mindful of that. But sort of after about 8 years, I think I was clinically depressed for two and didn't realise it.
Wow. So it's something that's it, you're not going to go back into management?
Well, never say never. I've had another couple of opportunities to go back into it, but at this moment in time, it's not for me.
Do you notice as well just how much players have changed? You know, back in the 80s, and it was, you know, the players had character and personality, and you could get out there and, as you say, go out for a pint in the evening, talk to the fans and what have you. And that seems to have changed so much, not necessarily for the better over the years.
Yeah, I mean, it's a debatable question, that's for sure. But, you know, the way I look at it, I mean, I'm from a different generation now, and things do change and things do move on, and there's a lot of things in this world now, i.e. social networking, etc., etc., that make things different. I think the biggest thing that I've found is the money that is on offer, not only to the lads who are playing out there tonight, but to young kids. You know, and therefore, if you're getting offered X amount of thousands of pounds at 16 and 17, 18 years of age, what kind of mindset are you going to have? Put it one way, I wish I was the lads who are playing tonight with the money they can earn, because they can set themselves up for life. I think there's good and bad in every industry, isn't there? And put it one way, the way I look at it, there's a lot of good lads out there, but there's also a lot of bad ones, isn't there?
As you say, any sport evolves. And Mark, when we were talking before, you were saying that you felt that you enjoyed being a Leeds fan more in the 80s, perhaps, than you do today. However, saying that, you did also say that you feel that there is a bit of a feel-good factor coming back to Elland Road. So are you feeling a bit more positive as a Leeds fan about the future at the minute?
Yeah, I mean, Ian Ian asked me just before we come up here, you know, driving up from Norwich every Saturday or wherever Leeds are going, and I said, the recent years it's been great until September, and then all the optimism's been knocked out of me. But I think this season there is a different feel about the place. But there's no getting away from the fact that we're grateful that certain personnel have left the club, and we're grateful that the changes GFH are making. But ultimately, it's what goes on the pitch that concerns me. And I think in all respect to the Leeds United players and to Brian McDermott, I don't think we've got a squad capable of going up this season as we are now. We're one or two additions in before the window shuts in a month or so, and see what happens in January. You never know, but at the minute as we are, I don't think we're good enough to go up. But I still love coming to Leeds, and I love the club 100%.
A lot of talk and a lot of debate about Ross McCormack's future at the club. He seems very keen to stay put. There are rumours of interest from elsewhere. Are you a fan? Is he a player that you want to keep hold of, or are you not convinced?
Ross McCormack is a good player on his day. I will admit, and people that speak to me on social media and people that know me, I'm not Ross McCormack's biggest fan. And I had a chat with him in the awards night at the end of last season, and we had a bit of a laugh about it, and he said he'd prove me wrong, and I hope he does. But to be fair, whether he comes or goes, he's up to Brian McDermott. And if he did go, I can't say I'd lose sleep over it like I did when such as Becchio, Snodgrass and Housen left. And I shouldn't say that coming from Norwich, because I'll get hammered for it. But yeah.
Yeah, interesting times ahead. And that's the beauty of football, that everyone has different opinions.
Absolutely,
and we
yeah.
can debate it till the cows come home. You say you won't lose sleep over that. You mentioned earlier you have lost a lot of sleep over this book. So are you happy with it? It's ready. It's going to be hitting the shelves
soon.
It's
just going through the final sort of proofread, which I will have finished by this time tomorrow. The pictures and the captions go to the publisher by Friday. And then next week it's been designed, and we're only a matter of weeks now from it being available and on the shelves for people to buy.
Yeah. Are you excited about it? Are you looking forward to it actually being out there for people to read?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of a little bit surreal, really, to have a book written about you. I thought only famous people had that, but
it would appear you actually are quite famous, particularly around here.
Yes, I mean, it seems that way, and I appreciate that. Yeah, the answer to your question is I am looking forward to it coming out, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to both of you. Thank you so much for joining us on West Yorkshire Sport tonight. All the best for whatever life holds next for you, Ian, and likewise Mark as well. Continued success with the book and being a lead supporter as well. Thank you ever so much.
Thank
That's
you.
Ian Baird and also Mark Bracker. Baird, he's going to get you. Keep an eye out for it. It's going to be coming out soon. As I say, I think there's going to be some quite entertaining stories in there.